All right. Welcome to another episode of Only Comics. I'm Mike. This is Adrian.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
Another lovely day in New England, baby.
Yes, sir. Dude, is winter ever going to break?
I don't think so. I mean, we got this long, what do they call it, northeast. It's not even northeaster season, but it just feels like it's just rain, cold,
dude, all kinds of crap, dude. I was at my daughter's softball game last night, freezing my ass off, dude. I'm like, softball's not supposed to be a cold sport. Like, right? Football, I got it.
Sure,
I put
my
coat on, you know, but yep. So I'm like, holy shit, dude, this is insane.
It's crazy.
But you know what's not cold, Adrian?
What's that?
This show.
That's right.
We're coming in hot, bro. We got a lot of stuff happening today, right? Man, there's a lot going on, dude. We had our one-year anniversary, right? Last week, had our boy Chris in, but now, you know, we're past that. We're over a year old now.
Yeah, so sure.
It's like our origin story's done now.
Yep, that's it.
You know, Only Comics year one is now over.
We are officially out of the training phase, and we're, you know, professional. Well, we're not professionals.
Right.
But we're avid.
We're getting there. We're walking. We got our walking feet.
There
you know?
We go.
Maybe we still shit our pants, but we're walking. I mean, at 1 year old, you know.
Oh, just saying. I wouldn't go that far.
Metaphorically speaking.
Sure.
But, dude, there's a Deadpool and Wolverine trailer dropped this past week. We're going to watch it here. I already saw it. Did you watch it?
I did see it.
So this is not going to be – I know some shows, they do like a, you know, first-time reaction. This is going to be like a third time for me. So I'll pretend like it's the first, okay?
There we go.
But we're going to go through that. Do a lot of stuff in that trailer to unpack. And you know what was cool about it? We'll get into this more later, but there was a lot that was shown, but there's still the movie still feels like a secret to me. You know, it still feels like there's a lot more that they haven't, and I hope they continue on that because how many times have we seen a trailer where 90% of the movie, or at least the important parts, were spoiled?
Right. I mean, you walk into by the time you're done with the theater, I mean, you feel, first of all, you got robbed at the concession stand.
Yep.
And then you got robbed inside the theater because you saw everything at home at the commercial.
Yep. Yeah, so hopefully they don't do that with this. But we're going to kick off with some comic news and rumors, Adrian. We got a lot of stuff going on. So the first one happens to be about Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay.
There's all kinds of cameos rumored. There's a handful that have been confirmed. Some of the rumored cameos, one of them is Channing Tatum.
Channing, I think.
It's a mouthful.
Channing Tatum. Hey, you got to be careful with that. That's my Magic Mike. That when you say mouthful, you know, people get the wrong impression.
Hold on. But Channing Tatum is rumored to play Gambit.
Okay.
This is a casting that you're not a big fan of, huh?
Nope, still not. He's too big for that.
He is big. Yeah. So now I would say from a look standpoint, like facial hair, like I've seen some mock-ups where he does look the part, but he'd have to drop like a good 40 pounds or something, you know, lean up a little bit. And then the other rumored cameo was Daphne Keene as X-23 from Logan, which I'm a big fan of this.
Sure.
How do you feel about that?
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
I mean, she was badass, dude, in Logan. So now the piece of news that I have here, it's a little bit of a spoiler, but Daniel Richtman, he's reported, so he's an industry insider, you know, reported that Laura, X-23, and Gambit will show up in this movie, but they're going to be more than brief cameos. Allegedly, they're going to have a large presence in this movie, larger than originally indicated. So how do you feel about, I guess, two-part, how do you feel about Gambit having a large role? Forget about Channing Tatum playing him, but the character Gambit in this movie, and then X-23.
I'm cool with it because it seems like we're having a pass the torch kind of a moment. Like when Arnold Schwarzenegger walked into that movie with The Rock.
The Rock
was chasing his kid.
Rundown. Yep.
So it was like that. It's almost like that moment because, you know, Hugh Jackman is aging out, right? It's probably going to be his last thing, which is cool.
Yeah.
So it just feels like that moment. And I'm actually impressed by Gambit. You know, especially after X-Men 97.
Right.
So
because you weren't big on Gambit before, right?
No.
I remember I brought him up and you kind of like laughed. Like, who's Gambit?
Right. I mean, this guy with some poker cards. Come on, dude. No, but I'm actually impressed by, you know, his power set and what he's doing. So I'm cool with it. In X-23, whatever.
I mean, and based off of the tone of this trailer with all the blood and gore, X-23 would fit perfectly in this movie.
Dude, there's a lot of gore in this.
Yeah.
Well, not gore, but just blood.
Just blood. Yeah, true. So next piece of news, there's a movie, Adrian, you've not seen this movie yet, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It has a 46% score on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you asked me, you didn't ask me, I'll pretend you asked me. I think that's pretty high, actually.
For that show.
Yeah, for that show, definitely. But the reason why this is in the news is the budget just got
released.
Yeah, because they kind of keep the budget like on the sneak tip because they don't want to tell you how much. And eventually the news hits. But I guess before I even give you the budget, Adrian, I want you to guess. All right. So to give you some context, the Eternals cost $200 million. Okay.
Okay.
If you had to guess this Ant-Man 3, but you've not seen it, you've seen the trailers, you've heard a lot of the complaints about it. How much do you think they would budget for a movie like Ant-Man 3?
I would say something similar because there's a lot of CGI involved in that. I would say 3 or 4, maybe.
It was three. 300 and change. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers on some of the most, I guess, expensive, biggest budget movies. So really to put this in perspective and then – I have no idea why they wasted so much money on this movie. So the most expensive movie they ever made, and actually it's one of the most expensive movies ever made, period, is Endgame. And that was about $400 million. Okay.
Really?
Yes. Now, this movie did a couple billion at the box office. So,
wait a minute. So they did like $100 million more and got Endgame.
Yep.
Did $100 million, 50 or $100 million less and got the Ant-Man?
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. Man, there's a lot of people pocketing money.
Yeah, like what did they use the money on?
I don't know.
Avengers Age of Ultron 2015 had a budget of about $365 million, which is shocking for that movie. Infinity War, about $300
million. Okay.
Captain America Civil War, about $250 million. The original Avengers movie, $220 million. Guardians 3, $250 million. So all of them kind of in that range. Here's one you'll love. The Marvels, $275 million.
Wow.
Now, the thing is, you're noticing a trend. Most of these movies, I'd even say The Marvels was better than Ant-Man 3, right? Mm-hmm. Most of these movies were much better than Ant-Man 3 with a smaller budget.
Right.
So the idea of just throwing money at it don't work.
Exactly. It's the storyline. Mm-hmm. Like we've always said, you know, keep it grounded, have a good story, and then you can flush out all that CGI,
right?
You know, and that's what makes the movie. So, you know, somebody got to pay, dude.
Absolutely. Hey, Spider-Man Far From Home, the second one with Mysterio, $160 million.
Really?
Half the budget of Ant-Man 3.
Wow. And that was a lot of CGI, because Mysterio is all CGI.
All those
right,
scenes.
Even in the movie, he's CGI. He's doing CGI.
Right.
So it's CGI playing CGI.
Yep.
So, that's crazy.
It is crazy. So, I put a list together, Adrian. So, if you came across $300 million, or go ahead.
The Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse things. You know how much those were?
I do not. That was not on here. But I can pull it up. I do know that No Way Home was on here, which was... Actually, I don't. Oh, no, $200 million. $200 million for No Way Home.
Okay.
So that's the one with, I mean, to your point, a lot of CGI. You got Doctor Strange with all the multiverse shit. That was only $200 million.
Wow.
What the fuck did they do with the extra $150 million, $120-something million?
Director. Gave it to the director.
There you go. But I came up with a list, Adrian. In case you ever came across $300 million and you got the urge to make an Ant-Man movie, I came up with some alternatives. Okay. Me and my boy ChatGPT, because I didn't know. I've never had $300 million to spend on something. So I asked, you know, what could you buy with $300 million? So you could buy an island. So you could buy your own private island with $300
million. Pass.
Space tourism. You could book 60 seats on Virgin Galactic spaceflight for $300 million. You and 59 of your friends could go to space for $300 million.
Don't have 59 friends, so pass.
Scholarships. You could fund full scholarships for over 2,000 students to attend a public university.
Nope.
No. Private. You could buy a couple private jets if you wanted to.
Nope.
Art collection. Here's a good one. You could purchase original paintings. So I thought this was bullshit, dude. The most expensive painting ever sold was Leonardo da Vinci. It was... $300 and something million, dude.
It wasn't that swirl that Mark Wahlberg stole in that movie.
that was in that old van
or whatever they had crumpled up or whatever.
Is that the other guys with the with Will Ferrell or no?
No.
I'll mix them up.
He's like his whole family is like an ex-con. And he he got on this like a tanker. And everybody knew him. They knew his dad.
Oh damn.
He was like marked from the beginning, but he was like a master at this.
So he
had to go and save his sister's brother or something from getting killed from this local drug dealer. So they went and to Canada and smuggle some stuff back.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they found this piece of artwork that was all crumpled up in this van, and they got that too. So
no shit.
That was worth like $50 million or something.
Damn. Well, you could buy this painting from Leonardo da Vinci for $300 million if you really wanted
to. Yeah, no. What else you got?
What else? We got concerts. So you could host a private concert with some of your top artists multiple times. And to back this up, I researched this. So Beyonce was paid $24 million. Mm-hmm. To perform at a private concert for a luxury hotel in Dubai in 2023. So you could have Beyonce perform 10 times or more.
Oh, pass.
Pass on that. Movie tickets. You could buy 30 million movie tickets, enough for every seat in the theater in America for one day.
So we can all go see Ant-Man and Quantumania.
There you go. They should have just did that.
All right.
That would be a perfect solution. No one's going to watch your movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe take half the budget, okay? Let's cut it down to, instead of 30 million, 15 million tickets. You give them out. People go watch a movie for free. Now you got a box office smash. Now you still didn't make any money, but right, at least it sound a little better. The last one, you could build your own amusement park for $300 million.
Nope.
None of those. So of so those. You'd make Ant-Man.
No. I go travel.
There you go.
And I spread the word of only comics around the universe. That's what I would do with
my love. Actually, that's the best. I don't know why that wasn't on here. That's worth $300
million. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The sand.
So, moving on from the budget of Ant-Man 3, X-Men 97, dude, rumored to, or not rumored, the show's, the showrunner, Bo DeMeo, you know, the guy who got fired.
Yeah.
He's talking about the show all the time. So, he's like the biggest promoter of the show.
Wait a minute. He got fired, but he's still promoting the show?
Well, I say fired, but I guess they were amicably separated.
Right,
you know?
A mutual agreement.
There you go. The rumor is they had some issues with his OnlyFans content, you know, so they canned him for that.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. Mr. Sinister, we saw, you know, last episode where he's kind of behind the whole, not kind of, he's behind the whole genocide. Like, Mr. Sinister in the comics is racist. I don't know if you knew this.
I did not.
They're going to touch on that here in the X-Men animated, or in X-Men 97, which I think is, it's funny because X-Men has always kind of played that like analogy for civil rights.
I was going to say that. I mean, the whole team, the whole premise behind the X-Men is race-based.
Exactly.
And then they're going to have like a race thing inside of a, wow. It's deep.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's some Matrix shit right
it
there.
It is, dude. So there was someone posted this on Twitter, and then I guess this is Bo responded. So they showed a panel from a comic. You can see it here, right?
Yep.
And I guess in the panel, Sinister refers to Storm as the X-Men's colonial pet and revealed that the animated revival. Oh, so someone says, you know, never forget Sinister is racist. And Bo says, we'll touch on this. He even says we still, even though he's not on the show.
Maybe he's talking about him and his dog or whatever he's got, whatever person he's got going on with his OnlyFans
maybe
page.
Yeah, who knows what's going on there. And he also goes on to talk about how with the X-Men 97 he wanted to kind of parallel some of these atrocities that have happened in real life, right?
Sure.
Like which we saw with the genocide, you know, episode pretty much, and he kind of compared that, like, the first half of the season's like almost like a pre 9/11, you know, and the second half is post 9/11.
Right.
So I guess we're really going to see the impact of that, because that was a big moment, which in the last episode we didn't see a lot of, because it was focused purely, it was focused on, I think, like you said last week, events that were happening at the same time.
Right.
Right. Because Forge and Storm, they're going through their whole deal and they turn on the news at the end and learn about the attack as if it just happened.
Yep.
And then Xavier, you know, he had his classroom session that was interrupted by Gambit dying, you know, so inconsiderate. Like, he's trying to get the class.
Right.
He's trying to teach the class, you're just going to die right now.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then reach out and tell them through some vision. Like, but anyway, so it does seem like we've yet to see the impact of those events on the show. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, cool.
Next up, I think you're going to like this. Remember I said, Adrian, I like to bring gifts, okay?
Okay.
So I think this is a gift for you. We got some figures here on the table. I see you're touching on. You're going that wide shallow. Look at that. So we got a nice little collection here. You got this Batman. You got your Iron Man stuff.
Yep.
So anyway, Hot Toys, their company that makes some of these figures.
Mm-hmm.
Two figures have been canceled mid-production. Okay. One of them being some Sicarian Iron Man based off of like a Disney What If. The other one being your boy right here.
Oh,
the Flash's movies, young. I probably, that doesn't sound right. The Flash movie's young Barry Allen has been canceled.
Good.
The figure, yeah. How do you feel about, is this going to mess up your collection?
Or? No, not at all. I mean, I don't even know why that was even a consideration.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
That's the bigger point. Like, why did you even think, like, the less we see of Ezra Miller's Flash, the better.
Exactly.
And yeah, any toy. Matter of fact, if you have toys of this, you should destroy them. Actually, if you make a video destroying this on TikTok, we'll repost it.
Right,
share it.
Exactly.
We'll actually share it on our podcast.
There you go.
Last piece of news, your boy Zack Snyder. All right. So I think he's responding to us. So we talked about Zack Snyder a couple of months ago, I think, when he lost his mind and said that his Rebel Moon movie, which I don't even think, have you ever heard of this, Rebel Moon?
I have. Okay. I actually started watching it.
Okay. How was that?
It got to, I mean, it was kind of early on, you know, some people attacked and they tried to rape this girl in a barn or something. And she took them all out. So, I mean, after that, I was like, whatever. Mm. But I never returned
to it. So this movie, it got horrible reviews, and Zack Snyder went on, we were talking about this, where he kind of compared it to Barbie.
Right.
You know, he said, like, oh, based off the Netflix viewers, if this thing would have went and, you know, he thinks that he would have had 160 people watch this at $10 a ticket, and he would have made $1.6 billion at the box office with this movie. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. We said, that's not true. Right. Remember that? We'll go back in time. We said that. So he went on and he said that, he goes, I was implying that there are two things. One is that I was going by the numbers that I was given by Netflix. People are like, oh, well, Snyder's crazy. But literally, I'm just doing math. Now, if we're close to 100 million viewers, 100 million views times two is 200 million views. So people are like, Snyder's delusional. And I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you. He goes, who knows what Barbie's done on Max and the culture. Kind of goes on to give the Barbie movie a lot of credit. But, I mean, this is like what we used to call in construction gorilla math. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
This movie was not released in the box office, hence why everyone watched it on streaming. And you're only judging Barbie based off of what it did at the box office. You're not taking into account what that movie did on streaming.
Right.
Rebel Moon Part 1 has a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
The sequel, I didn't even know the sequel came. Oh, it came out like a couple weeks ago. Part 2, now he's doubling down. He's getting even worse. Has a 17%. Meanwhile, Barbie sits at 88%.
Wow.
So I've not seen the Rebel Moon movies. I've seen the Barbie movie. It was way better than I expected. I went with my daughter wanted to see it.
Right.
I just thought it was a pretty good movie. It was entertaining, fun, you know.
Okay.
John Cena was in it. You know, so there's that. Margot Robbie. It's great.
I have not seen the Barbie movie. Mm. But why are you comparing a spacefaring movie, right, to a Barbie movie?
Right.
I mean, it's cool that you want to, you know, on a down low, support the Barbie movie. But don't
compare. That's what
you
ended up doing.
Yeah, exactly. Don't compare your show to a movie, right?
Yep.
The show starts on big screen and then ends up on streaming. Your stuff started on streaming and it's still there.
Stayed on streaming.
So I didn't know season two came out either. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. Well, it's a show. I mean, it's a movie, not even a show. So see, they have not done enough marketing because you don't even know what it is.
It's a single
movie. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So what the rumor I heard was originally Zack Snyder was slated to direct a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And then that, I guess, fell through. So what he did instead was he made Rebel Moon. I don't know if you got, I've not seen any of it outside of the trailer. Mm. Did you get a vibe that it felt Star Wars-ish or no?
Yo, definitely.
Yeah.
You know that, you go to a planet and it's kind of dusty, that hazy kind of look that Star Wars has. And then some antagonists come down and you got some hidden, you know, Terminator person, which is this girl in this particular movie.
Got it.
It's very Star Wars-esque.
So the rumor is he took, like, his ideas for the Star Wars movie and just made Rebel Moon. Because he's like, screw you, if y'all aren't going to let me make Star Wars, I'll make my own Star Wars. Hence why it's got, you know, sub 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. So not that Rotten Tomatoes is the end-all be-all. I mean, outside of us, they're pretty good.
Right.
But obviously our reviews are much better.
Sure. So we should have got an 8?
Yeah.
Percent?
Yeah, probably 8%. Brown. Yeah. And I'm just doing this based off of not even watching it. So that's how we do it. Because we're not experts here, Adrian.
Man. It just feels like an 8.
I'll tell you what, I don't think it costs $300 million.
Right?
Wow. But who knows? You know, who knows? All right. So we'd like to wrap up our comic and news with a little thumbs up, thumbs down, Adrian. I have a feeling there's going to be some thumbs down on this one.
You got that feeling?
Well, let's get to it. All right. The rumor number one is Daphne Keene and Channing Tatum. as X-23 and Gambit, respectfully, will have bigger roles than originally reported in Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a thumbs up, too. I'm going to try not to shit on Channing.
Channing.
I'm going to give him a chance.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as far as the news is concerned, thumbs up.
Got it. Ant-Man 3's budget was over $300 million. I'm going to give this a thumbs down.
Wow, that's amazing, dude. Thumbs down on that one.
Like, dude, what? I don't know. And the CGI, to your point about the CGI, like, it costs money. Sure, but the CGI sucked in this movie. So maybe, like you said, someone just pocketed it.
Well, what actually happened was that if you see the Deadpool trailer, they forwarded some of that money so that the giant Ant-Man could show up dead in the Deadpool movie. That's where all the money went.
Maybe that's, like, symbolic for killing off, you know, Ant-Man. Like,
right.
I love Paul Rudd, but based off of this, no more movies.
I'm still mad at that dude. I mean, he's like immortal or something, you know?
Okay. Hot Toys cancels the release of an Ezra Miller Flash figure. I'm giving that a huge thumbs up.
Absolutely, dude. Yep. No.
And last but not least, your boy Zack Snyder says Rebel Moon would have made $1.6 billion at the box office. I'm giving his delusional ass a huge thumbs down.
Thumbs down, dude.
Yep. Not going to happen. So DC, you know, we get a percentage of the fans, Adrian, that accuse us of being Marvel biased, anti-DC, which is not the case, right? I mean, you saw some Batman stuff on this desk, right?
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Of course.
Not on mine, but
not on
that's
yours.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. well, hey, one of my Batman, you know, items is something you gave me, right. So you had to buy a DC item, you know?
Sure.
But I put together a little list because you had said several times in this podcast that comic movies are no longer comic movies. Right. They're just movies.
They're just
right?
movies. Yep.
And for a long time, they were, as the actors say, snubbed at the award shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you remember hearing this movie's nominated? But and they didn't win shit because right. it's like, oh, it's a comic movie. Then they would win awards for, like, you know, visual effects and stuff like that. And then we saw, I think, with Heath Ledger, first time an actor from a comic movie won a, you know, Oscar.
Right.
So I figured we would give DC a little bit of shine here, potentially. So I got a list here. Now, before I even get into this, who do you think has more Oscar wins, Marvel or DC?
Who do I think? I go with Marvel.
Okay. So you're actually wrong, believe it or not.
I kind of figured that.
Yeah.
as it was rolling off the tongue.
Yeah, you see the look on my face. I probably spoiled it. But we'll start with Marvel. So Marvel, their first Oscar award was for the movie Spider-Man 2, Best Visual Effects. Okay.
Yep.
They then received one for Big Hero 6. Most people don't even know it's a Marvel movie.
I did not.
Animated for you. A pretty good movie. And that was for Best Animated Film in 2014. So 10 years between Oscars. And then the third one was for, they had three Oscars for Black Panther. Best Original Score, Best Costume Design, and Best Production Design.
Okay.
And then their last Oscar, so that gives them 6 total. Their sixth Oscar was for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Best Animated Feature Film.
Okay.
DC, on the other hand, they got their first, they started this Oscar-winning reign a little early.
Okay.
1978 Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Special, this is funny, is when the, you know, Special Achievement Award for it probably didn't even give it out on the show. It's probably like pre-show, right. You know.
Mailed it to him.
Exactly. Like, you can't, Chris Reeves, you can't come to the show, but here, take this little Oscar,
right,
you know.
There you go.
It's probably like a replica. Anyways, but 1978 Special Achievement for Visual Effects. 1989 Batman, Best Art Direction. Number three, The Dark Knight actually won two Oscars. Heath Ledger was the first actor to win an Oscar in a comic movie for Best Supporting Actor, and then Best Sound Editing. Number four, Suicide Squad, Best Makeup and Hairstyling. That's...
Dude, that's a stretch.
Like, did no one else just have hair and makeup in their movie year?
Right.
Number five, Joker, won two. Best Actor, Joaquin Phoenix, and
really?
Best Original. Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's some shit.
Mm.
So seven. DC has seven. They snuck them by one.
Whatever.
Any of these surprise you?
Yeah.
Which one most?
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix doing anything. the Batman kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
Actually, the Dark Knight did too. But Christopher Reeve Superman. He's, you know, what we consider the iconic Superman even today.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. And for the time, I mean, 1978.
Right.
I mean, this was, was this a big movie for you when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
You were young, though, right? Were you 4 or 5 years old or some shit?
78?
Yeah.
No, I was 10.
You were 10. Okay. Yeah. See, I made you younger, dude. You know? Yeah. So you were 10 when this came out. So this must have been a big deal. What was it like this movie coming out at 10 years old?
Just like anything that comes out today for kids that are excited about seeing it. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, this is like everything. Yeah. You know?
And there was nothing like this before.
Absolutely not. No.
Like, there was some, you know, shitty ass, like, TV movies. And, I mean, we had the Adam West Batman and stuff like that.
I mean, even that was cool. Because, again, you got to think about what was available. What did you see up until then?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if you go back even further, they had stuff like in the 40s and stuff that came out in black and white.
Yeah.
They had like a lot of superhero movies from other countries and different languages and stuff. So this stuff's been around for a minute. But Christopher Reeve playing Superman, when that hit big screen, it was a big deal back then.
Yeah. Now, did you go to the theaters to see this? Did you watch it after the fact?
No, of course not. We couldn't afford to go anywhere and watch anything. A
little different time.
But actually, we went to the drive-in theaters.
Yeah.
Big bag of popcorn that we didn't buy at the drive-through theater. Yeah. We stopped at a dollar store, right? Loaded up the car. It was like, you know, six of us in the car. We watched the old Kung Fu movies.
Okay.
You know, dudes jumping across the river and, you know, through trees and forests and stuff.
Yeah.
That was our superheroes.
Gotcha. Yeah, so when this thing came out in 78, it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to your point, even the Adam West, it was cool, but it wasn't to this level. Like, now it was like, oh, shit, this is a good movie and a comic movie. It's stuff we talk about a lot on here. I think it's held up. I said a couple weeks ago, I really disagree. Christopher Reeves is that iconic version. You know, you got Batman, best art direction. If I'm looking at, I think the one that surprised me the most is Suicide Squad.
Right.
Now, I get best makeup, hairstyling. Sure, maybe like just that hair and makeup that year really sucked everywhere else. I don't know.
I don't want to shit on the hair and makeup people. They have a job to do too. But I mean, that's a stretch to line that up with an Oscar. Come on.
Yeah. Nah. Well, it is Oscar category. I'm just surprised that Suicide Squad won that.
Whatever.
I'm surprised it won anything. Like do they not take into account how bad the movie is? So if the hair and makeup's just awesome, but the movie is like the worst movie ever, they're still going to get an Oscar?
I wonder what the inside the theater was like when they announced that. It was like, and the best makeup is Suicide Squad. It's like, everybody's like, look, the whole place probably got silent or something.
That was probably one of those, like, no one's here to accept this award. So, like, you know, the person giving out just accepts it on their behalf is probably what happens.
Yeah,
so.
they mailed it with, the Superman award.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is cool to see, you know, actors from comic book movies starting to win some of these awards. I mean, we've only seen a couple, Heath Ledger, and then, you know, almost 11 years later, Joaquin Phoenix. But it is cool that they're, and I think we'll see more of that. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a performance in one of these movies that you think may have been Oscar worthy, like a Tony Stark in, you know, Endgame or something like that? Like, I think there are some in the MCU that were worthy of this award.
I don't know what the criteria is for something of that level.
Yeah.
I just know that it's high. I have not paid attention. I'm too busy consuming the universe of the comic. And not the performance of it. Obviously, if it's a shitty performance like a She-Hulk,
right?
I'm going to be like, wow, this is bad. Or the Eternals, I'm going to be like, wow, this is definitely not Oscar worthy. But I don't know enough about the Oscar genre okay, this equates to an Oscar.
But you're not surprised that Ezra Miller didn't win an Oscar for any of his portrayals?
No, I'm not surprised that Ezra Miller.
Okay.
Wow.
Got it. Well, next up, Adrian, we have this is going to seem like a blast from the past for you because you touched on you've talked about this character on Hidden Gem.
Yep.
But now, since we're doing this Omega level mutant series, we're going to revisit my man Franklin Richards, who I didn't even really know about until you introduced him to me.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Now, so from what I knew prior, I learned this through you.
Right.
He is the son of Sue Richards and Reed Richards.
Correct.
Right. And we were kind of joking before we got on here, like, he was more powerful than most mutants before he was even born.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. So if you would take us through, and you're a big fan of this character,
right?
When, before you even get this, when did you first remember finding out, hearing about Franklin Richards?
Pretty much as soon as I got into the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
I didn't get into like the early Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Obviously, like the 80s Fantastic Four, when they're a little bit more refined, the John Byrne-ish kind of artwork, things like that, the cool Fantastic cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty early on, I didn't follow him into adulthood, but which is not a stretch because he could actually make himself an adult
right
whenever he wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so early on with Franklin Richards.
Got it. Well, take us, I mean, his powers are insane. So bring us through Franklin Richards. What are some things that you really thought were unique about him? Why do you think? Now, this may be a little bit of preview of Agree to Disagree, but I think, based off of what you told me, you know, a few months ago here, he would solo the Justice League.
So I'll get back to that.
Yeah, we won't answer that now. I'm just putting my thought out
there. Right. So Franklin Richards was, so most mutants, so first of all, he thought himself a mutant, and it depends on the writer, right?
Yeah.
He thought himself a mutant early on, but it was later discovered that he was not, okay? But
okay.
Unlike other mutants that, you know, they walk in the girlfriend home and the bully attacks them, so their powers, you know, emerge, or like Storm, you know, it typically happens during teenage years when their powers come up. Franklin Richards was born in a mega level. Before he was even born, he was in a mega level mutant.
Yeah.
In other words, he could have took out the Justice League as an embryo, right?
Damn.
Before he even came out the mom's, out of Sue's womb, he could have took out the universe pretty much. Which is why Reed, Johnny, and Ben, they had to travel to the negative zone to get the cosmic rod, right, from Annihilus. He was like the ruler. He was like, Annihilus is like Darkseid in their own world.
Yeah.
He's like that premier person in that world. So they had to go to that universe, get this cosmic rod, and drain some fluid out of it. And that fluid they brought back to 616 so that they can inject Sue with it so that it can stabilize Franklin inside the womb.
Because he
was going off the chart, right? We talked about what's-her-face last time, Summers.
Oh, yeah, Hope Summers.
Hope Summers, week, yep. You know, with when she was born, and she blew up Cerebrus, right? Well, he didn't blow up Cerebrus because, again, he's not a mutant, but he was just that powerful from birth. So he was born with full psionic potential.
Yeah.
So we talked about Hope that can, you know, she can absorb the powers of all these other mutants and stuff. Well, just think of Franklin as, well, he doesn't absorb the powers of all these other mutants. He can just do anything that anybody else can.
Got it.
You know, so just pick a power.
Yeah.
Pick an ability. He can do it. But he's primarily known for reality warping.
Okay. Right?
So when he was a kid, he would create these little pocket universes. Then he would go into these little pocket universes and create planets and people and whole civilizations in his closet.
Yeah.
You know, when he's like 6 and 7 years old.
Shit.
At some point, his powers got out of hand before all the pocket universe stuff.
Yeah.
And Reed had to actually put him into a coma because he was afraid that, you know, he's 3, 4, 5 years old. He has a tantrum, destroys the whole universe.
Right.
You know, so he put him in a coma. And then Annihilus came and attacked the Fantastic Four and kind of woke him up or whatever. And, you know, he came out, but then he was at his normal level. So ultimately, Franklin had to decide himself. So what he did was he made himself an adult, figured out that this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So I want to be a kid. So he actually put his own dampeners on himself. You know how Charles put dampeners on Jean Grey? Well, Franklin put dampeners on himself so that he couldn't use his powers. Matter of fact, he got it down to where he could only use his powers one day out of the year.
Wow.
Right? I mean, this dude is just, I mean, he could do anything.
Yeah.
He can astral project. He can project energy blasts at any level. He can create universes. He can create planets. He can bring people back to life. Mm. He spent some time in hell. He didn't like that. So he could pretty much, he can do anything. Telepathy, he could fly, he could teleport. So you name it, this dude could do it, but since birth. It's Damn. Just that he had the power set, but he didn't have the experience, the maturity to wield all that power. So that's why he had to, he and his father had to, you know, put checks and balances, you know, throughout periods of time of his life.
Damn. So she gets pregnant.
Yep.
At what point do they realize, like, this dude's powerful as hell? Like, how long after they?
I'm not sure, like, how far into the pregnancy, but it was definitely, you know, early on.
Yeah.
Because she started, just stuff started happening.
Yeah.
You know, like the psychic or psionic attacks against her. Her body would do different things. Mm. I mean, you could see the impact. You could see, feel the impact of Franklin in the womb outside of her.
Yeah.
You know, so he was impacting stuff way before then.
Got it.
Before he came out.
So these times where we, like, he's in Secret Wars, mm-hmm. but he's just like a kid.
Right.
Those times when we're not seeing, like, you know, his crazy power set, that's when these blocks or whatever have taken effect? Or is it maybe it's just not the day of the year he can use his powers? Because I feel like I've seen him in comics, mm-hmm. but I've never seen him the way you've described him. I've just seen him, like, there, you know, on a picnic and shit with his parents.
Right. Well, this kid is so powerful. I don't know. He was in Secret Wars?
Yeah, exactly. See, he was just like a kid in Battle World.
I would assume that he just chose not to do something.
Got it.
Because, like, the Molecule Man, I mean, because the Molecule Man was the power in Secret Wars, the one that we reviewed, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Franklin Richards, like, supersedes him. Because the Molecule Man can affect and transmute matter. Franklin can do that. Mm. Plus, he can create matter, destroy matter, transform matter, all of this stuff, right? Yeah. So if he's there, like, nerfed out, I would assume that he did that because he wanted to. I mean, this dude made Galactus his herald.
Yeah.
Right? Galactus left Earth because he didn't want to mess around with Franklin Richards. I mean, the Celestials view him as a child, as one of the most Omega level entities in the universe. So this dude has pretty much unlimited power. As a matter of fact, it said that at the end of this universe, he would be the only one that transitions to the next universe. Damn. And he's like, I just want to be a kid.
It's like, that's too much pressure, dude. I'm right. Good. Damn, that's crazy. What would you say is his most impressive power?
I mean, he could do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
So is that based off of anything he can think of, or does he have to see someone have that power first, or?
Anything that he can think of.
Yeah.
Like, he literally opened his door in his bedroom and created a micro universe just out of thought.
Yeah.
And then inside of that universe, he created galaxies, planets, entities walking around, like mm-hmm. people or aliens or whatever. So he created this entire thing. He can literally shape, create, destroy anything at the instant that he thinks about it.
Damn.
So, I mean, I can't say what his most amazing power is because he can do anything. Raising people from the dead. How about that?
Yeah.
You know,
shit.
I mean, teleporting is amazing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
But then being able to slide from one universe to the next universe, anything.
Oh, here's how I get your answer. If you could have one of his powers, what would it be? Only one. And having the ability to waste $300 million on a movie is not a power.
I would go with the teleportation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just bounce wherever you want? Just
anywhere.
Yeah.
Not just physical space. But between universes.
Oh, okay. So he can teleport literally anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to, like, Nightcrawler, I think he has to see or has to have seen it before. To your point, depending on the writer.
Right.
Sometimes he just pops in wherever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's based off of places he's seen before.
Right.
You know, actually, I think in that shitty movie Dark Phoenix, there's a part where he is teleporting into the spaceship where Jean is. Uh-huh. I think he makes a comment about he's never seen it or some shit. Right. I don't know. Or I could be making this up as I go. One or the other. Right. One thing about this show, Adrian, is we're not experts.
Exactly.
And we're not going to be experts. Right. We're experts at podcasting, obviously. Sure, at comics, you know.
Expert at the voices.
The voices. Well, we have determined that is a mutant ability. Now, I don't know. I don't know if we're Omega level. I don't know about that.
Well, mine's cracking, so I don't know what's going on with that. maybe it's I'm with Hugh Jackman. I need to keep the long sleeves on and just keep it moving.
There you go. Damn. All right. Well, you know, that's a good segue, Adrian, into agree to disagree, because I have some Hugh Jackman stuff this week. Okay. I have some Franklin Richards. I have some Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Last week, we didn't really do a traditional agree to disagree. We kind of revisited the past a little bit. Okay. You know, this week, we're gonna go old school, okay? So I actually only have nine this week. So I got nine of my opinions
okay.
that I just came up with today. Right. So it's not based off of anything. It could be contrary to something I've said in the past, you know. I actually had to look one up because people kept commenting, I can't believe Adrian said Madam Web was better than the Eternals. And I'm like, did I say that too? Because if I did, I got to change my mind. Because after talking through it last week, I'm like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. I'd actually, before we do this, I'm going to ask you one last time. Mm-hmm. You're in jail. Yep. The only way to get out, you have to watch the Eternals or Madam Web. Mm-hmm. Which one are you watching?
I watch Madam Web.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Stand by it. Yeah. I love it.
Because I'm just disappointed. It's not that it's a better movie. It's just right. that I'm disappointed okay. in it.
So it's not a better movie, but you'd rather rewatch. Now, I would agree, like Chris was saying, it's probably a fun movie. Like, it's more fun than Eternals. Mm-hmm. Nothing fun about watching Eternals at all, except for the part where I fall asleep.
I like watching the speedster move around.
Okay.
She was pretty cool. She was really the most, you know, interesting character in the whole movie.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. People are like, you know, the Eternals hate, I don't get. It's not that we hate it. For me, it's just that it was boring and right. pointless, and it just felt like a Zack Snyder movie, you know?
Right. Wow.
Imagine if he directed the Eternals. That speedster running in slow motion.
Right. In black and white.
In black and white, of course. Well, all right, moving on. Agree to disagree. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Number one, Deadpool and Wolverine will outperform every Deadpool, Wolverine, and X-Men movie at the box office.
Agree.
Zack Snyder's Justice League is better than the Eternals.
Agree.
See, my boy, people say we hate on him too much. I got to give him a little bit of love, you know? But not for long.
But notice the pause, though. I had to think about it a little bit.
Now, did you pause because you weren't sure, or did you pause because it was Zack Snyder?
I paused because dramatic.
Okay, a little dramatic. I like that. You're letting him behind the curtain a little bit. There you go. Now, don't get too excited, Zack Snyder. Here's one for you. The Boys, the show, is better than Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yes, agree.
Franklin Richards would solo the Justice League.
From within the embryo, yes.
Damn. Not even born yet.
Not even born yet.
He'd just stick him in a little pocket universe somewhere and lock him there forever.
I mean, this dude is a blob of snot and would wipe out the Justice
League. So if he sneezed on them, it's just a wrap. The Rock's Black Adam would kick the shit out of Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
Yes.
The CW's Flash was better than The Flash.
Absolutely.
Rebel Moon would definitely not have done $1.6 million at the box office.
No, I agree.
Black Adam is better than The Eternals.
Definitely.
Last one, we should not see Hugh Jackman in the full mask and Wolverine costume until the movie drops.
I agree with that.
You go across the board this week, Agent. Look at that. We're locked in. We're in tune, like you said a few weeks ago. You know,
that's it.
Some people, there's like three.
Synchronized.
Yeah, there's three people that will be upset. Like, why aren't you disagreeing more? I have all of you guys to disagree with. Right? You know, so exactly. I don't need to disagree here. I just be one more. But you know, that last point is a great segue into this Deadpool Wolverine preview that we're about to do here. And the reason I say that is a moment I think that a lot of comic fans have been waiting for years, right? Ever since, you know, the first time we saw Wolverine, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and X-Men, I think one of the main critiques was the costume.
Right.
Like, he's just in, like, these black leather, like, it looks like a biker almost, you know? Sometimes there's a little bit of Wolverine flair, like there's some, you know, yellow kind of arrows and stuff on the side, but we never had seen him in a full getup.
Right.
We've seen... Now with this new trailer we're about to watch, we did see him sleeveless. We did see, you know, the suit for the first time, which looked legit.
Yep.
But that full mask, get up, like, that iconic look from the comics, I want to wait until I'm in the theaters.
Sure.
Eating my $32 bag of popcorn and my $19 peanut M&Ms and my $14 soda. You know?
Minus a kidney.
Yeah, minus a kidney. I want to wait until that happens to see the full get up.
Sure.
You know, like, please don't waste it in a freaking trailer, for the love of God. So, anyway, that being said, are you ready to check out this trailer?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, full transparency, unlike other shows, we don't lie. We have already seen this, but we're going to pretend like it's the first time. All right? Ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
I told you, you're not welcome here.
A little famous bar here, probably in Madripoor.
Get the fuck out of my bar.
Just give me one more drink and then I'll leave.
Hi, Peanut. I'm going to need you to come with me right now.
Look, lady, I'm not interested.
All right, well, I'm sort of on the tick-tick, so upsy-daisy. Oh, Whiskey Dick of the Claws. It's quite common in Wolverines over 40.
You don't want this.
Unless you want to take a deep breath through your fucking forehead, I suggest you reconsider.
That's just, I hope that's like their first meeting. That's just awesome.
I'm about to lose everything that I've ever cared about.
Not my fucking problem.
Is that what you said when your world went to shit?
Come again.
This Wolverine let down his entire world.
This obviously is not the Wolverine we're used to.
Want to talk about what's haunting you, or should we wait for a third act flashback?
Go fuck yourself.
Seems like they're going to be at odds for most of this movie. Right. There we go, the sleeveless Wolverine, Adrian.
I don't know anything about saving worlds.
He's working on his legs, though.
Trust me, kid.
He's kind of tall for a Wolverine, but, you know.
You were an X-Man.
I'm digging the look, though.
You were the X-Man.
You got that big vein you're always talking about. Are you glad that thing made a cameo? Or?
There you go.
Soaking wet right
that,
now.
That dude's got veins everywhere. Like, yeah. He's like all in the side of his head.
Yep. Sandra Nova.
Lots of blood.
Yep. Plenty of blood.
Boys are so silly.
This is what I'm talking about.
That big Ant-Man you were talking about.
Big slow-motion action sequence.
And we did see that big Goliath, I think, from Loki. That was that big purple smog cloud.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Now this part right here, we're going to touch on that little portal.
Want to do some cocaine?
Hey. Cocaine is the one thing that Feige said is off limits.
What about Bolivian marching powder?
They know all the slang terms. They have a list.
Even snowboarding?
Even disco dust.
White girl interrupted?
Even Forrest Bump.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yes!
Forrest Bump. Wow. Well, there you have it, dude. What'd you think when you first saw this?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I just waiting for the movie.
Got it.
It's like I have my things about shows. I don't like to, especially something like that, that I expect to be good.
Yeah.
But, of course, I thought the same thing about, let me see, Echo.
Mm.
Not the Marvels, but the Eternals.
Eternals. So, Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. Yeah. So I don't want to set myself up to be disappointed. It's basically what I'm saying.
Do you think there's a chance that this will be a bad movie? There's always a chance, but.
Sure. My concern isn't that it's going to be a bad movie.
Yeah.
My concern is that it's going to be, they're going to try to make it too funny.
Got it.
Like, they dropped a lot of F-bombs in there already. So there's probably going to be a continuation of that. But then does that turn the movie off?
Right.
Things
right.
like that. So
I'm hoping what they did was they showed us a lot of those funny moments that really don't, I don't say they don't mean much, but you ever notice in, like, Deadpool movies, he says a lot of these little wise remarks,
right.
but a lot of other characters don't even react to him. Mm-hmm. So it's really more there just for the audience.
Right.
I'm hoping it's more that than, to your point, if it becomes like a full-on comedy where they're trying to out-funny each other.
Right.
But what I am looking forward to is some of these action scenes, these fights. You know, right. it seems like there's a few different fights between Wolverine and Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
which I really hope there are, and I hope we get this. Because that, I mean, that's something that, badass in the comics, they fought, you know, a handful of times there, but right. I really would love to see on screen done properly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little, like, moments, Easter eggs in this.
Sure.
Now, that part where I talked about the portal, that looks like one of those Endgame portals.
Yeah.
Or a Doctor Strange portal.
Doctor Strange portals, right?
So, like, first of all, how the hell did they get that portal there?
Right. Like, who opened it?
Yep. And where are they going?
Right. So, maybe the guy from Doctor Strange.
Yep.
Or the kid. Or the kid.
The kid, yep.
Right? He could have did it.
Right. There's at least three right off the bat. It could be Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Could be Wong. Could be Ned, right? Because he has the power now.
Mm-hmm.
Or who knows? Could be some other sorcerer.
Right.
Now, if you notice, you see the portal, but
the purple.
You see the purple behind it, but the portal itself is like a blur. You can't see where they're going.
Yep.
I think that is just editing for the trailer.
Sure.
So if you remember Infinity War, the original trailer showed a scene where they're all running in Wakanda, and you see Hulk.
Yep.
But if you remember that movie, Hulk wouldn't come out. Remember, he was suffering from little performance issues.
Right.
So they head faked us. They made us think that Hulk was going to show up, and he didn't. So I think they're doing some of that here where they're going to cloud that portal because they can't show us where they're going to.
Sure.
Now, I mean, it could be anywhere, you know. Now, if they're going back to if they're going to do like a time travel thing, you know, like they did in Endgame, they could show up to the Endgame battle. Who knows? I mean, there's so many different things.
Well, with the purple, they might end up at Loki's crossroads.
There you go.
So, you know, Deadpool can kick him in the knee and kick him off the throne.
Right. Well, so in honor of, you know, this trailer and preview in the movie, Adrian, I got some fun facts here. And I'll go through some stuff about this movie. So, number one, it's going to drop July 26th.
Okay.
So, we are about almost 3 months out, right? 90 days or so. Couple things everyone already knows, directed by Sean Levy, who worked with both of these guys in the past. Some of the confirmed cameos, roles, Emma Curran, I don't know if that's how you say her name or not, she's playing Cassandra Nova. We've talked a little briefly about on this show, Professor Xavier's evil twin sister.
Right.
Someone said, oh, you know, could it be Patrick Stewart in a wig? We've confirmed it's not.
It's not.
Which I'm glad it's not.
Right.
Morena Baccarin, I believe is her name.
Yeah.
Yep. Vanessa, she'll be back.
Yep.
Leslie Uggams as Blind Al. Uggams, I don't know if that's how you say it. Dude, I like Blind Al, bro. Blind Al's a great character.
Yeah.
Like, it's just perfect comic relief.
Yep.
You know? It's funny that you need a comic relief character in a Deadpool movie, but it just fits.
Yeah.
Who else is there? We got... So, these are some confirmed cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Stanford as Pyro. So, if you remember the original X-Men movies, Pyro was a young kid...
Right.
Him and Iceman, they kind of had a little feud. He started out as an X-Man, then left to, you know, join Magneto's Brotherhood of Mutants. Obviously, this is like 20 years later. Guy's a lot older. I didn't even recognize him in the trailer, but I did read that he was confirmed.
Right. He was like sitting on a car or something.
Yes. Which I like Pyro as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Not so, I mean, the X-Men movies, they kind of neutered him down like they did with everyone else.
Sure.
But as a comic character, like he played a big part in the original animated series. Mm-hmm. He'd always pop up with Sinister and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was a cool character. I mean, one can like, shoot fire out of their hands. Jennifer Gardner as Elektra has been confirmed.
Huh.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
How do you fit her into Deadpool?
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Yep. Now, this is one that... I don't know how true this is. It says it's confirmed, but who knows? Chris Hemsworth as Thor is going to show up in this movie. Now, I read that it's just from, like, footage. Like, you know, maybe when he's at the TVA, they see, like, footage of him on the screen. But the fact that this was, like, in the news recently, I'm wondering if he's going to do more than just a cameo appearance.
Well, remember, what's her name? Blind Al. She said something, or they were having that back and forth. Deadpool said something about Foggy.
Yeah.
The only Foggy I know is from
Daredevil. Yeah.
So that could explain Elektra.
Mm. Okay.
Maybe.
If Foggy shows up. Dude, who knows? I mean, but to your point, how does Elektra tie in?
How does Chris Hemsworth, Thor, tie in?
Thor makes more sense because they're going to the TVA, and the TVA's got kind of a handle on all of these supers and stuff.
Yeah.
But Elektra, and also Thor... Well, we don't know what universe this Wolverine's from.
Right.
It's obviously not the Fox Wolverine.
Right, because they did say this Wolverine let his whole world die or something like that.
Yep. There's Dogpool is going to show up. Well, we saw that, the little dog looking. Now, I'm not a big Deadpool comic guy, so I don't know who the hell Dogpool is and how that fits apparently it's going to show up. Sabretooth, Toad, Lady Deathstrike, and Azazel were all in this trailer, kind of like just hidden, But the original Sabretooth from the X-Men movies, I think Tyler Bane may have played him. Remember the first Sabretooth? Not the one from X-Men Origins that was Wolverine's fake brother.
Right.
The original one that was a bigger guy.
Okay.
Toad, the original actor who played Toad.
Okay.
I hope that Halle Berry Storm doesn't show up because I don't want to have to hear that stupid line again of, you know, what happens to a toad when it gets struck by light? Like, and then Lady Deathstrike.
Okay.
Are you a fan of Lady Deathstrike?
I'm not, but I think it's a cool character.
Yeah. Now, I know her from the animated series. She played a very different Lady Deathstrike in X-Men 2 compared to, you know, the comics or whatnot. It was like a Wolverine love interest, because who's not, right? You know, or ex-love. He only has ex-love interests.
Of course.
You know, but she was in the cartoon, but Kelly Hu played a pretty decent version of Lady Deathstrike. I thought it was cool for what it was. You know, she was Stryker's little pet. He had the... you know, shit he was dropping on the back of her neck to control her.
Right.
Wolverine ends up killing her in the adamantium. He injects her with it, fills her whole body or whatnot. So it does seem like there's a trend of some dead characters showing up in the void.
Right.
There's that. And Azazel, if you remember him from X-Men First Class, the red guy, I forget his powers, but I think he's like really fast. Maybe he teleports. I don't know. But he was in the first movie with Sebastian Shaw and Kevin Bacon.
All right.
So he was in this as well. So those are all the confirmed ones.
Okay.
Got some rumored ones.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of confirmed ones. Now, rumored cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier. Ugh. Ian McKellen as Magneto. Taylor Swift as Dazzler.
Okay.
James Marsden as Cyclops. Famke Jensen as Jean Grey, who she tried to play that she wasn't. Halle Berry as Storm's another one. Josh Brolin's Cable's another one. Your girl Sophie Turner as Jean is another rumored cameo. Loki, Tom Hiddleston. And then the last one, we reported this a few weeks ago, Henry Cavill as a Wolverine variant. Those are the top 10 rumors, and there's plenty of more.
Well, just to confirm ones is a lot.
Exactly.
But it's also like a Star Trek movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the captain goes down to they go to a new planet, they beam down, and you know that the lieutenant that you never saw before is gone.
Exactly.
He's not going to make it back.
Right.
So it's like they're on this trend of killing off characters now.
Mm-hmm.
So they need some cannon fodder. So it's like, it's almost like, so they're building up.
Yeah.
That's one thing. The other thing is that they're making a play off of the Flash, where he went into the Speed Force, and there was all these different versions of, wasn't the Flash or the Blue Beetle or...
Oh, it was the Flash,
yeah. The Flash. One of them
shitty movie. You
know? Yeah, yeah. Shit movie. So, yeah. And you had like the... What's his face? the variant of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
All this
Nick
other...
Cage,
so it could be... Yeah, Nick Cage, yeah. Superman. So it could be something like that.
Oh, like just a quick cameo.
Right.
Yeah.
So, how else can you get like 30 people in one space, dude?
No, I agree. I do think that most of these are going to be like little one shots. Like, yeah, you're just, you know, you're breezing by and you happen to just see them in the void. Hey, what's up, Cyclops? You know, shit like that. Which I hope most of, because it's just way too much to try to juggle.
Right. But it's like when these actors, they go and start peddling, life insurance at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, what's the point?
Right.
I mean, didn't you do something with your life to save up some money with all this acting and stuff that you don't have to do these stupid cameos? Why would Nicolas Cage need to?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that he
didn't. Well, he didn't want to. Know. Yeah,
yeah, was, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, Henry Cavill showing up as a cameo? Nah.
Yeah, that one. I guess like if I was looking at this list, Adrian, the one I think is going to happen the least and the one I think happened the most. Dude, I don't even know.
Well, I hope Halle Berry doesn't show up. I hope
Sophie
Turner doesn't show up. It would be interesting to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen. Mostly Patrick Stewart.
Right. Because
that's just.
We've seen it too much.
It's like watching I don't know.
Like a live funeral?
Like a live funeral. That's perfect. Perfect. Live funeral. Josh Brolin would be cool.
That would be cool.
James Marsden, I actually think that he's a pretty cool Cyclops. I like him best.
Yep.
He's Cyclops.
Definitely better than whoever played him in the younger version.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely Ty Sheridan, I think. Ty something. But yes, James Marsden. But he's one that I think he didn't get his shine because of the writing.
Right. Right.
I think he looked the part. I think he knew how to play a dick because that's what Cyclops is.
Yep.
He knew how to be cringe or cragey, as you call it. Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't really crazy, so we'll just keep him as cringe. He's Captain Cringe.
Sure.
But he knew how to be cringy and play the asshole pretty well. So I wouldn't mind if he showed. I agree. If Halle Berry shows up as Storm, that's probably the worst option on this list.
Right.
Tied between that and Sophie Turner. Oh, yeah, there you go. If you had to pick one, Sophie Turner or Halle Berry showing up in this movie.
Halle Berry. Yeah. Only because Jean Grey's power set is so awesome.
Yeah.
To see Sophie Turner do it so badly.
Yeah.
You know, Halle Berry, it's you know, like a marginal. I get the dry heaves.
Yeah.
Sophie Turner is a full-blown, you know, vomit, ejection.
Projectile, so. Like The Exorcist.
Yep. Yep.
Henry Cavill as Wolverine. I think it would be cool to see, but then I think after seeing it, we'd be like, oh, that sucks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be cool because he does look like he could play a decent Wolverine.
No, they need to go with some short dudes, man.
Yeah.
And Henry Cavill need to, like, spin over to the Captain Britain. I think that'd be a cool spot for him to land into.
Right, which was another rumor. But, now, do I think they're going to go into the shorter Wolverine? I don't think so. I think they're going to just base it off, well, hey, Hugh Jackman works, so let's just keep, you know, having our Wolverine 6'3".
Right.
So, some rumored plot points. Basically, it's a multiverse movie, because what isn't nowadays, right? And Wade Wilson, Deadpool, is retired. He's living a little quiet life. He's a used car salesman, of all things. Wow. And somehow the TVA needs him. They reach out to him. So the premise kind of sounds a little Loki-ish, right? Mm-hmm. Like, now, Loki just showed up at the TVA. Or they did. They went and got him because he was screwing around with the Tesseract.
Right.
So this is, for some reason, Deadpool needs to help save the entire world. And then in that challenge, he ends up going to find this variant of Wolverine to help him, essentially, is what we know, which is we don't know much,
right?
Which I'm glad about.
Exactly.
You know, how do you feel about this being a multiverse movie?
Well, it's multiverse, multi-characters, multi-multi. So yeah. I just hope they did a good job of making it make sense instead of just trying to shove in a bunch of. It's almost like it's the last hoorah, and they just trying to you know, have as many superhero or comic book characters in one movie at one time, and it's going to be sketchy,
right?
I think for me. So I'm cool with it, but again, just like anything else, they got to do it right.
Yeah, yeah. Thing about this movie, originally, everyone called it Deadpool 3. Right. Mm-hmm. Now it's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right.
We've learned that they each kind of have equal billing. It's and I heard some comments recently by the director that it's not a Deadpool 2 sequel. It is its own movie. Now, the character, a lot of the same characters or whatnot. So, you know, the supporting cast, they're all there. Mm-hmm. Cyclops, Colossus, Negasonic, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, whatever the fuck her name is. But I wonder, did we miss out on a third Deadpool movie because of this?
I think they can still make a third Deadpool movie as a sequel to number two.
Yeah.
Which is would actually be brilliant
for
them to do that, you know, so they can kind of like build a character, because Wade, first of all, you know, he's essentially never going to age, unlike Hugh Jackman, right?
True.
He's behind that scarred up face thing or he's behind a mask. So either way, his, you know, if his voice doesn't change like mine is now, he'll be cool for two or three more movies, probably another decade or so.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just interested to, like, just even have that idea, that thought of, if we didn't have this Deadpool and Wolverine movie, what Deadpool 3 would have looked like? Because there was rumors of the X-Force being a movie at one point. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure they would have continued with Cable more, you know, Josh Brolin's Cable, because of how that movie ended. Mm-hmm. So that it's kind of like, I guess, to get one thing, you got to give up something else, right? So we had to kind of give up, because it would be cool, but I don't think they're going back to a Deadpool 3 sequel to the Fox movies after this. They're probably just going to move into what's, you know, future for Deadpool.
Well, there was one comment about some guy, not one of our viewers, but he was saying, like, you know, he could never get behind Deadpool because he couldn't get behind somebody going around killing with impunity, right? So I think Deadpool 2 had so much in it.
Yeah.
It kind of wouldn't make sense to do a third one.
Right.
However, he can pop around into pretty much anybody's show.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got that third mirror, fourth page, whatever you want to call that thing going on. So he could probably pop over to DC and Jack Snyder's freaking garage and tell him how to, you know, that'd make a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think if they moved him around a bit, kind of like what they did with Spider-Man when they first introduced him, I think that'd be a cool thing.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., his portrayal. Mm. Iron Man 3, I think, came out 2013, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony Stark, he didn't have his, or Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. didn't have his own movie for the long, like, he had three solo movies.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of his appearances were in Avengers movies, to your point, he was in Spider-Man Homecoming a little bit, but he's still known as, like, this key to the MCU.
Right.
So, yeah, that's doubling down on what you're saying. We wouldn't really need Deadpool movies moving forward.
Right.
Not that I wouldn't want, I'd love to see him, but they could just bounce him around through different stories.
And because he's probably going to steal Cable's, you know,
time
thing.
Yeah.
Right? He can seriously move around to all kinds of stuff, right? Get into all kinds of trouble.
Maybe he could show up to Rebel Moon and help them get that rating score up above like 18.
I don't think it'll work. I don't think it'll help.
No. And I don't want to see Deadpool in black and white, so he can't go to Justice League. Damn, would Deadpool solo the Justice League? That's a bit. See, I'm not biased because I know that Deadpool would not solo the Justice League.
Well, he's going to outlive the Justice League.
That's true.
Even though Superman is extremely long-lived, probably thousands of years.
Mm.
Wonder Woman is pretty much immortal.
Yeah.
So it'll be a toss-up. You know, Superman be a threesome.
Damn.
At the end.
Yeah, he'll just have to outlive all the others.
Right?
Yeah.
Along with Franklin Richards.
There's some comic stories that could be adapted into this or play a big factor. So they mentioned Wolverine, basically, this variant of Wolverine failed saving his world, right? There's a scene, if you remember, there's these big kind of like stone hedges almost that they look like they could be giant graves.
Right.
And Wolverine's kind of on the ground. There's an old man Logan, which Logan was kind of loosely based on. One of the biggest things they changed about that movie from the comics. So if you remember in the movie, Charles Xavier actually massacred the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had one of those panic attack, the seizures or whatever, and he killed all the X-Men. That's why they're living in this bunker, right? In the comic, Wolverine was tricked into killing the X-Men. Mysterio had some mind control, whatever, and tricked Wolverine. He thought he was, like, fighting villains or whatnot, but he was fighting the X-Men. He killed them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ends up leading to this, like, dystopian future where, you know, it's all ruled by – it's actually – Old Man Logan's a great story. So I could see them tying some of that. Like, somehow they got to explain why Wolverine's in the void and why he failed his own, world. And I did see this rumor that they're going to use that of him killing off the X-Men, which would be crazy.
Right.
But so Old Man Logan's one that they definitely could. Days of Future Past, they move back and forth past future. I'm sure we'll see some of that in this movie. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to travel the multiverse and not do time travel, I would assume, right?
Mm, who knows?
Who knows?
If they're going to have all these people in it, they're going to have to do something like that, right?
Yeah.
Because they can't have all of them occupying the same space at the same time.
Right.
You know, it's either going to be multiple spaces or multiple times or a combination of.
Yeah. The thing about that in Old Man Logan, so he's tricked into, he was defending the X-Mansion. Mm-hmm. And he thought that these guys were villains. They were X-Men. He figured it out after some time. Most of them were already killed off. But at that moment, he vowed to never use his claws again.
Okay.
So we could be maybe finding a – you remember, his claws came out really slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Deadpool called it whiskey dick for Wolverines over 40, which I didn't know that was a thing.
They didn't come out slow. They stopped.
Yeah.
They nubbed out. They nubbed out.
Yeah, they nubbed. They had enough. They pulled the Hulk, the performance issues. But I wonder if they're playing off some of that because he vowed to never use his claws again. So maybe, you know, he's about to and realize, oh, shit, I'm not doing this. Who knows?
Who knows?
But somehow they got to explain how he failed. Now, the other thing is, if he failed his world, why the fuck would Deadpool want him to help save his world, you know?
Exactly. But if he was going to have, you know, second thoughts, why would he even get up and start with the, you know, trying to retract it? I mean, extend his claws.
Yeah, true, true. But either way, dude, I'm excited for this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, past movies. I try not to, to your point, I try not to get too excited because a lot of times I'm let down.
Right.
Like, imagine being excited about Rebel Moon and then watching it. I mean, there's some people that were, maybe.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't understand why you got excited about Rebel Moon.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it would be one of those, well, there's nothing else to watch.
Right.
It's raining outside. Yep. It's cold. So let me grab some hot cocoa and watch Rebel Moon.
And I broke both my legs so I can't walk around. And I broke my arms, too, so I can't change the channel. But it's on, and no one's home right now, so I'll have to just watch this until my wife gets back and can change the channel.
No, the TV remote is in the multiverse somewhere. Yes. I cannot change the channel, and I'm stuck with this.
There you go. That's it. So, but I honestly, looking back, I don't remember a movie of Reese outside. I think the last movie I was excited or looking forward to at this level or maybe more was the Batman. With Robert Pattinson, my boy Pattinson.
Yeah.
But I can't think of another one that I've looked at like, oh, I can't wait to see this. Maybe Across the Spider-Verse?
Yeah. Those were exciting to watch, but I wasn't excited. I mean, really, the last movie that was really, really excited about.
Yep. Are you going to say The Matrix?
The Matrix.
I knew you were going to say The fucking Matrix.
Yep. Yeah, buddy.
Is The Matrix better than Zack Snyder's Justice League?
The Matrix is better than anything that Zack Snyder has ever done.
I will, man, I should have said, you know what? I got one for next week. I'm not even going to say it right now because I have some Zack Snyder movies that I think are better than The Matrix. So.
Well, I of course I'm being, you know,
a little facetious.
Facetious with that statement because I have not seen all of Jack Snyder's movies. But The Matrix was one of those things. It was like, dude, I literally left the theater, went home, got excited again, went back to the theater for the second time.
How soon?
Then,
like, the same day?
The same day.
No shit.
Then I came back. I got my wife, brought her back. And then the dude, not minding his business, you know, Chris Brown talking about, you know, girls ain't loyal, whatever.
Yeah.
Dudes ain't loyal, man. I show up and he's like, he blew up my spot. Oh, you back again?
Oh,
so
damn.
Now my wife's looking at me like, who'd you come here with?
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man. Right. Just shut up and get the money.
I already seen this twice myself. Wait, so you saw it two times and then got your wife?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Three times, one day.
Damn. Dude, like, what? You must have went to the first showing then.
Oh, absolutely.
Holy shit.
Yep.
That was bad. I mean, movies still were expensive back then, but not like they are now. You know, now you had to take out a mortgage to do that.
Right.
The last movie I saw multiple times was... I think it was Endgame. No, it's a lie, because a lot of times I would go see the movie first myself, then bring my kids just in case they want to use the bathroom 18 times or go get more popcorn.
Exactly.
You know how it'll be more popcorn. I'm like, dude, like they're about to, Tony's about to snap. What do you mean get more popcorn?
Yep.
But I had to see it first. But the last time that I wanted to go for me several times was Infinity War and then Endgame, those two. And actually, those were the last two movies I think I went at the first showing at the early preview, like on a Thursday. Now it's not, it's like, I'll just see that movie when I get to it before the end of the weekend, you know? Well, this one I'm looking forward to. I predicted earlier that it will outperform all of the past X-Men, Deadpool, Wolverine movies at the box office. We'll find out in 90 days if I'm right.
Yep.
Moving on, we're going to wrap this up, Adrian, with a little segment that we call We Respond. Okay.
Let's do it.
So this is where we take some of your comments that you guys left us online, and we just hit you between the eyes sometimes. Sometimes we virtually high-five you, you know. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're in the middle, you know. So let's see. We got – now, last week, we have an overwhelming positive response to last week's episode because it was our 1 year. Mm-hmm. We talked about the top comic movies of all time. And then we together, me, you, and Chris, we got to the bottom of a question that I think the universe has had for a while. What are the bottom three comic movies?
Yep.
We came up with three that we agreed on. So if you haven't seen if you haven't watched last week's episode, why are you watching this week's episode? Like, you should have seen that first, right? It's like the origin story. You watch year one first.
Well, you should have seen all of them.
You should have seen all of them, absolutely. But we'll give you a slight reprieve. But if you've not seen last week's, go check that out. So one person here says, I don't even know this person's name. You'll see it on the screen. Abso-fucking-lutely when we dropped our episode. So I like that. That's great.
Sure.
Brett Johnson says, happy 1 year. I'm new to watching the pod and have been loving it. Thanks. Thanks, Brett. The only thing I have to say is the Eternals hate is unbelievable and I will never understand it, but respect. See, why can't more viewers be like Brett Johnson?
I don't know.
You're not, maybe, if you don't understand the Eternals, it's not hate. Our Eternals opinion by now, you're never going to understand it.
Right. Right.
So why can't more people be like Brett and agree to disagree? You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So he also goes on to say, you talked about Dark Phoenix being bad, and it was better on his rewatch. He rewatched this, but the only redeeming thing from the movie was that train scene. Do you remember this movie at all?
No.
Dark Phoenix? That's actually good.
No.
The end train scene when they're all fighting Magneto, Phoenix, it's okay, but...
Wait a minute. When he's in the building and Magneto pulls the train up from the ground and stuff, and then Sophie is like... you can't even do that because he's trying to like stab her in the eye with a rail.
I just came back to you. Yeah. So he's saying that's the only redeeming thing about that movie. I actually think the beginning is better. I think when they go out into space and she contracts the Phoenix or whatever hell you want to call it, to me, that was the highlight of the movie, which was like the first 10-15 minutes, and then it fell. You ever been to Six Flags New England?
No.
Okay, well, there's a ride called Superman Ride. It goes up this giant fucking hill. Mm-hmm. Giant. And then the drop down is, like, almost straight. Mm-hmm. That's how that movie dropped off the cliff after the opening scene when she comes across the Phoenix for the first time. But the end, to me, it didn't feel like an end of a movie. That train scene felt like something that could happen, like, mid-movie.
Sure.
And then it moves on to something bigger. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't... It was definitely one of the better aspects of the movie, like, visually and whatnot, but... It left me wanting so much more.
It wasn't the climax of the movie.
No.
It was like just a mid, something that could have been put anywhere in the show.
It was Wolverine's claw sticking out like, you know, half an inch and not coming out all the way, you know. So there you go, Brett Johnson. We partly agree. Nicholas Bailey says, congratulations. Absolutely love your podcast and seeing your takes every time I go on my page. Well, thank you, Nicholas. That's great. Another guy here, BGJ, says, congratulations. Best comic podcast ever. May you reign forever.
Nice.
You agree with that? Best comic podcast ever?
Yeah.
I think so. Stu Frank. So Stu's been a commenter for a long time. Mm-hmm. My man Stu Franklin says, well done, guys. Some great content over the past year. I agree with that. Nick Privet says, Peacemaker is the only thing John Cena is good at. That's a little unfair, Nick. That's a little unfair.
He came on my radar, not as a wrestler, but in the Marine movie.
Okay.
You seen that?
I've not seen that.
It was kind of,
It was a little crazy?
It was entertaining for the time. I mean, it was a while ago, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's when he first came on the scene.
Yep.
But I didn't know he was trying to be like a funny guy like he's doing with...
He's pretty funny.
Like, yeah, he is. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
I mean, but talk about Vane, dude. That dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got a whole thigh running through his arms.
One thing he's got is pretty bad. Dude, I went to WrestleMania, and I was sitting in the stands, and I saw his bald spot from the stands, dude. Yeah, so that's not and I even read an article that he did all this shit to try to, like, cover it up with hair and stuff, which that's a hard one. Now, this is why I know that there's no – you know, I don't know about you. You're bald. I'm bald, right? Yeah. Do you get, like, ads and stuff sometimes for, like, hair regrowth things?
Never.
Never. I get them sometimes.
Really?
Now, this is how I know that none of them work. Because if they did work, there would be no bald celebrities.
Right.
Like, there's all, they could get nose jobs, you can get, you know, you can get your breasts, you get all kinds of shit done.
Yeah, but you know what they do, though, right?
What?
So the people in the know that they just get an entirely cloned body. they don't,
okay.
You know, for the people that look like they got real, because it is, because it's a whole new body.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Got it. I mean, there's hair plugs and stuff like that, but if they worked, I think, like, if that worked, I don't think John Cena would have a bald spot.
I think he just should go the Jesse the Bodybuilder Ventura route.
Just shave it.
You know, and forget that little pony rat tail thing
that he had. Just
get rid of all of it.
Yep, no doubt. But I would disagree that John Cena actually is entertaining as a wrestler. I think he, now you're not a WWE guy, but I think he is one of the greats. I think, you could have tons of, and if we have some wrestling fans out there, chime in. Which we actually do. They confirmed that a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. But I think he will go down as one of the greats in WWE history. Cool. Great on the mic, too. I think that's probably why he segued into acting. Mm-hmm. You know, because one thing about a wrestler is, can they cut a good promo? Can they get the crowds excited? Can they promote their match? That get the fans to believe, if you will, right? And Cena's always been great at getting on the mic, you know.
Cool.
Funny thing is, I don't know if you ever if you ever seen him rap back in the day, because his character was a rapper, which started off, I guess they were on a trip somewhere. He's on a bus, and he was just screwing around rapping.
Right.
Like, just having fun.
Yep.
And Stephanie McMahon overheard it, and somehow, from that, it turned into, like, oh, you're going to start doing this, like, in the ring. And it clicked, dude. It caught on. I hated it, because as a big hip-hop fan, I'm like, this seems like a fucking parody of rap.
Right.
But he got it over. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was popular for a long time. Huh. And he had some pretty entertaining, like, disses to his, you know, whoever he was going up against at that time. So I disagree. I think I think that Cena, I think he is a better wrestler than he is an actor so far.
Okay.
So far. He also showed up in Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
He was Dom's long-lost brother.
Right, another one. Right.
Like, just out of nowhere, looks nothing like Dom Toretto. But
not
okay,
at all.
You know?
Not at all.
And we've seen him, obviously, as Peacemaker in that shit show of a show. So, anyways. Cal B says, what if there was an on-screen romance between Anna Paquin and Ian McKellen with a vomit face? That's definitely. What did you say earlier? The projectile vomit? I would be doing that if that happened. So we got.
Where did Anna Paquin come from? I know
Rogue,
who she is.
Because
we were talking about
the Rogue and got Magneto.
You. Yep.
Which I don't care what anyone says. That was some grooming going on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know.
Oh, absolutely.
That was definitely grooming.
Absolutely.
Yep. Hey, if they're going to touch on racism, they should touch on grooming, too.
Right, absolutely.
They should definitely call him out for that.
A little sexual trafficking.
Yep. Michael Navarro says, let's go. New episode. Of course, every Monday, usually around 5:30, most of the time. Here's one. He says, "My Isaiah Patterson, my top three Marvel movies, Avengers Age of Ultron, number one. Wow. Have you not seen Infinity War or Endgame? Two, Civil War.
Don't hate on the man.
Yeah, I know.
That's his top
That
three.
Is his. That is. You're right, Age. I should agree to disagree. But he's wrong. So anyways, two, Captain America Civil War. I love that movie.
Yep.
Three, Black Panther. He said, y'all should do a top DCEU best and worst movies. I don't know if they have three movies that I could put as the, you know what I mean? Like, the worst, I would probably say, I mean, The Flash would definitely
be
in the running for the worst, right? Because that is, I mean, the Aquaman movies, the Wonder Woman movies, they're all better. I mean, as much as we poke fun at Zack Snyder's Justice League, I would probably put that up towards the top of DCEU movies.
Right.
I would say Snyder Cut number one. Mm-hmm. Man of Steel, maybe number two.
We're talking about top best or worst?
Best for DCEU. Uh-huh. Snyder Cut number one, I would definitely say that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say Man of Steel or Batman? I mean, Batman or Superman just is so uneven. This is where it gets hard because they're not good movies.
I would just pick, you got the trio. I would just pick one from each of them because Wonder Woman movies, the first one was pretty good. Not too big of a fan of that 84 thing.
Yeah, no, I think anyone was.
But I throw her in there somewhere.
Mm.
I almost rather go back to the Adam West Batman.
Yeah. You know? You'd rather watch that than watch any of it. Yeah. Yep. All right, we got couple more here. D Molina says, love the podcast. We do too. Happy 1 year. Thank you. You hype up the X-Men so much, but then say he'd beat the, he's talking about Batman, but then say he'd beat the X-Men with time to plan. You could give him years to plan and he'd get bodied by any one of the X-Men, in my opinion. A bunch of laughing face laughing at us. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
But over time, he would, assuming that he's inconspicuous. So this is like a perfect scenario for Batman. Mm. Actually, it doesn't even have to be a perfect scenario for Batman.
True.
It could be just a scenario. But over time, he would wipe out, I believe, all of them.
Mm. Yep, definitely. So you're wrong again, Demolina. But we appreciate the comments. A man, Poo Pow, I guess is his name, says, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Congrats on the 1 year. He says, I have 2/3 questions, but I only see two, so I'm confused. If you have another one, do shoot at us. He says, I've been getting into Marvel Comics as I've mainly been focused on DC Bat Family. Well, that's DC. But what X-Men comics would you recommend to read? So I'm just going to shoot off a few of my favorites in no particular order. X-Men God Loves, Man Kills is a great one. If you've seen X2, this is where they got that storyline from, and the comic is just as good as the movie. Right. Dark Phoenix, I'm a big fan. I'm sure you've read this. Days of Future Past, another great one. Yep. X-Men versus Avengers, it's more of a Marvel event, but I think it's a great story. And then Fatal Attractions, that one panel when Magneto's ripping the adamantium out of Wolverine's body makes that line worth it. Mm-hmm. Any you want to recommend? What are some of your favorite X-Men comics or stories?
I don't have books or whatever. I have eras.
Okay.
Like when I was growing up, you know, for me it was all about the art more than anything else. Like, you know, Wolverine, you know, in the future with the stripes and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you can get your hand on the Marvel app and go back, a few decades.
Yep.
I would consume some of that early stuff. And then you know, people will understand, you know, when I say the things that I do, it'll give them more perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's been so many writers between then and now, and the characters have matured or morphed, and they just change a bunch of stuff that's kind of nonsensical. And then when you see them on the big screen, it's like, dude, that's nothing like what they are in the comics.
Yep.
So I would go back a couple of decades.
Got it. So there you have it. And I'm going to save part two of his question to wrap up this segment, okay? Another guy says, Hades. My man Hades, he was on here a few weeks ago. Congrats, guys. The best podcast. I agree. Cool. God Mode, he's a frequent fan of the show, says, he's got a few honorable mentions for worst comic book movies of all time that we left out. Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. X-Men Origins Wolverine, the first one. And then Catwoman. Wow. How do we forget Catwoman? That is a bad movie.
Right. Right.
I would probably even move one of the ones we said like out for Catwoman.
We talking Halle Berry.
Yes.
Catwoman, not
Michelle Pfeiffer. Not Michelle Pfeiffer. The movie Cat. Yeah, Halle Berry. Yeah. Would you say is Green Lantern better than Catwoman, the movie?
Ooh. Ooh.
That's close call.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Man, you know what? To revisit that list, maybe Catwoman would knock Green Lantern out of the bottom three. It'd be number four. It wouldn't go that far, but that is a good call. Last but not least, we're going to go back to my man, Pua Pau, I guess. We're going to end with this. He says, what are the best five comic characters that were cast perfectly and worst five that have been cast? And keep up the great work. We will definitely keep up the great work. We'll do that. Best five comic character castings. Do you have any? I would say, Chris Evans's Cap is up there.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Downey is Tony Stark.
Yep.
I mean.
Are we talking like heroes or just coming?
We're talking any character, yeah.
I was impressed with Colin Farrell's The Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Tobey Maguire.
Yep. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. So I like that. Hugh Jackman, Wolverine.
Yep.
Keith Ledger.
Yep.
The Joker.
Yep. Heath Ledger's was great.
So, I mean, a few.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, so if I had to pick five would be hard. I mean, I think Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark is probably one of, like, the top three.
Right. The two iconic ones would be Chris Evans as Captain America and Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
I would even go with Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Yep. That was kind of like on the back of my mind as you're saying. I mean, you could go with the big three from Marvel right there. Now, let's mix up. So if we're going Marvel, we're going to go with those three, right? Okay. Now, it's how you could pick five from each, right? Because Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. Now, if we're going perfect, height-wise, I've got to knock some points off for Hugh Jackman, right? Sure. So we're talking straight casting. So I can't say Hugh Jackman because he is 3 feet taller than Wolverine.
Right.
Tom Cruise would have been the perfect height, you know.
Sure.
Or Bruno Mars. But anyways, no offense to all the short kings out there. We love you guys. If you need help getting stuff off the top shelf, let me know. So from a DC standpoint, Henry Cavill as Superman, would you say that's a perfect casting or no?
He's as close as they've come.
But I don't think we can say perfect.
I wouldn't say perfect at all. I wouldn't say perfect.
Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
No.
No.
No, she is good, but yeah. I mean, Wonder Woman is a beast.
Yeah.
They definitely need somebody else. Yep. Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther.
Yep.
I go with that definitely.
Yep. DC side. Now, would you say Christian Bale is Batman? I wouldn't.
Christian Bale as
Batman. Did I call him Batwoman?
Of the Batmans, he is the better Batman from my perspective.
But not a perfect
Batman. But not the perfect Batman, no. I would go with the guy, the older Batman in the Titans.
Oh.
The Bruce Wayne. He was more Bruce Wayne more than Bruce Batman. Wayne.
He was a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, then we never really get to see him as Batman. There's a stupid rule they have, like you could have Bruce Wayne in your show, but not Batman.
Right. I don't know.
But he was great as that older. I mean, to talk about that show, the guy who played Dick Grayson in that show.
Right.
Perfect casting, I believe.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's not a movie, but I would throw that out there. Heath Ledger as Joker, I'd say it's perfect cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get, I mean, think about that and then think about your boy Jared Leto as Joker. Oh, God. That'd probably be one of the worst,
right.
Actually. So, I think, so we'll say top five. We got Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say Chris Hemsworth perfect.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think so.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. Especially early, I mean, in all aspects, but early on, he played that arrogant, stupid kind of goof Thor, which is who he was in the comics for a long time. Tom Hiddleston is Loki.
I was gonna bring him up too. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Who, if perfect, if we had to pick one, Loki or Thor, who would be the
Loki?
Yeah. All right. So we'll knock Tom. We'll not. Sorry, Chris. We already got a Chris in there. Chris Evans. Can't have too many Chris's, you know. So we're going Robert Downey Jr., Tom Hiddleston.
Right. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Robert Downey Jr.
So that's three.
Uh-huh.
And then from the DC side, we're saying Heath Ledger.
Okay.
That's four.
Mm-hmm. Kendrick Cowell. Let's not even put him in there.
Yeah, I don't think we say. Would you say Christopher Reeves was the perfect casting for Superman?
I would say he's the best embodiment of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's say that. Five, there you go. And this list can change tomorrow.
Sure.
You know. But as of right now, off the top of our head, Pal Pua, if that's how you say your name, top five. Now, worst.
Halle Berry as Catwoman and Storm, so that's two right there.
Yeah.
Sophie Turner, Jean Grey.
Ezra Miller.
Flash.
Yep. Jared Leto's Joker.
Yep.
That's one of the worst for me. We need one more worst. God, who was really bad? The dude who played the Juggernaut was bad. I don't know if I'd say he's worse, though.
Yeah.
The first Juggernaut.
The guy that played Morbius.
Oh, Jared Leto again. Oh, Jared Leto gets two. Oh, there you go. Okay, Jared Leto gets. Oh, no, I got one. Tom Hardy is Eddie Brock.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yep, there you have it. There's our official list. That's how we do it, eh? We just make it up as we go. That's our list. So we appreciate all the support for our one-year podcast last week. Appreciate all the comments. Let us know what you're thinking about Deadpool Wolverine. Are you on the side of us? We're excited, but I don't say hesitant. We're cautious, right? Because we do know that Marvel has been known to make some really great movies, and they've also been known to fuck shit up at times.
Right.
You know, so we hope that that doesn't happen here. Next week, Adrian, we got two episodes of X-Men 97 to review. So, I mean, truth be told, you're taking a little trip down the multiverse. So you're going to be gone for a little bit. You know, you're on a little pocket universe parallel universe?
Yeah, okay. Well.
All right, so you'll be back. You'll be back, and we'll be reviewing two episodes of X-Men 97. Mm-hmm. And God only knows what's going to happen from now till then in the comic book world. But another fun week. Adrian, thanks for coming in, joining me.
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks for watching, hitting the subscribe button. Hit it if you haven't already. Thanks for liking, sharing. And let everyone know we're now a year old, you know. So share us with more people so we can make it to 2 years. Like my man said, I forget who it was, he wants our reign to last forever.
Forever.
Let's do it.
Forever, ever?
Ever, ever. Yes. I mean, we are, according to a good percentage of our fans, we're the best comic podcast out there.
Hey, I agree.
Right, I agree with that, too. I'm not going to dispute the fans. Well, maybe sometimes.
Maybe sometimes.
But anyways, we appreciate the support. Guys, thanks for checking us out. We are also now on Spotify, so check us out there.
Cool.
They've been asking. See, I like to deliver gifts. Mm-hmm. I said that to these folks, and they've been asking for Spotify, so now you got Spotify. So go watch us on Spotify.
Nice.
You know, give us the reason to be on Spotify. You know? So there you have it. We'll see you next week on Only Comics.